The Buzz on CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Buzz on CliffCentral.com. My name is Jason Von Berg and Nikita is back with me today as well. Hello, Nikita.
Hey, Jace. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, fabulous.
Sure. It's been a bit of an interesting 24 hours in the world of entertainment, eh?
It has.
Very sad.
It is. I actually thought at first when I saw TMZ reporting the death of Prince, I actually thought, is this real? You know, come on. What's happening? And then obviously I changed to, I think it was Sky News, and I saw them running with the story. So it's a little bit shocked to hear about it, and especially like the circumstances around it that we haven't heard anything yet. So
looks like
57 years old. So
it's going to get quite horrible. The story at first was that he, or his private jet, had to make an emergency landing following a medical emergency, and it was originally dubbed as something related to flu. Now there are new reports coming out that he was rushed to hospital for other reasons, which, you know, we don't really want to talk about. We don't want to speculate because obviously it's a very sensitive time. But I don't know what's going on, and it will obviously all come out. But just what's really sad, for me personally, is that we've lost yet another legend in the music industry. You know, we've lost David Bowie this year, which is huge. Whitney Houston's gone, Michael Jackson's gone. You know, like, how many more do we have to lose?
It's like, how many more greats?
Yeah, it's scary. It's very scary. But I saw a really, really great tribute on YouTube earlier. Jennifer Hudson is playing. I don't know if you've seen it, but Jennifer Hudson is playing.
What's it, The Color Purple.
The Color Purple, yeah.
Purple, yes.
And in tribute to what happened, paying tribute to the late Prince, they decided that they would do a cover of Purple Rain. And I'll find it for you. We'll play it a little bit later. But it was absolutely incredible. You know, Jennifer Hudson, whenever she performs, I just get goosebumps. She's an Academy Award winner, Grammy winner. And one of my biggest memories is shortly after she lost her mum, her brother, and her nephew in that horrid, horrid event. She performed a song called You Pulled Me Through at the Grammys. It was the first time she was on stage after everyone, or you know, after the incident, and she was absolutely incredible. And now she comes back and she does this. So let's see what happens. Maybe the Grammys are looking at her to, you know, lead the tribute to Prince when that tribute comes out next year at the Music's Big Night. But yeah, very, very sad times.
Very sad indeed.
But we will pay more tributes to him, and Jen, I'm sure, will touch on it as well. But I think we need to lighten the mood up and lift the spirits. And what better way to do it than to celebrate Queen Elizabeth? Queen Elizabeth is turning 90. Well, she did. She turned 90 yesterday.
Yes.
I stand to be corrected. And to celebrate her birthday, ITV Choice's Catherine Wen is in studio with us. She flew in from the United Kingdom, yes, on Wednesday, to talk about — my British accent is really shitty — but to talk about —
you're trying, it's good.
Yeah, to host a celebration with some of the ITV viewers, ITV Choice viewers, and some of the media and bloggers. And unfortunately, Nikita and I couldn't make it, but that's why we decided we would bring her into studio today. Hello.
No, thanks for inviting me. And your British accent is much better than mine, by the way. I mean, it's a bit ironic to be talking about with my American accent, to be talking about British programming, but I assure you, I am legit. I've been living in London, working for ITV for 10 years.
Okay.
And so I am a citizen of and had to pledge allegiance to the Queen, and went to a ceremony with a Queen lookalike.
Oh, okay.
There. Yeah.
Well, maybe I should put my mask on and do the interview like that for the duration of it. And the only thing you will be able to see — and we'll tweet a picture out, we've actually put it on Twitter already, so you can go and check it out at Jason Von Berg. We've tagged Cliff Central as well, cliffcentral.com, and go and check it out. But we are donning our masks, and now I think I'm going to be, because of my colouring, I think I'm going to be —
you're going to be Harry.
So let me just sort that out. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go. Love it.
Is
muscles.
That okay?
Yeah.
I might have to do it like that.
That's fine.
So you pledged allegiance to the Queen. How many years ago?
That was about 3 years ago now. Okay. Already. Yeah.
So proper British.
Yeah, but haven't changed the accent. It's immovable.
There are certain words that are very well pronounced.
Yeah, I do say schedule now and lift and, you know, things like that.
And mind the gap.
I was, yeah.
Instead of taking the subway.
And I was told that I was not allowed to use the word, I'll say it now. I wasn't allowed to use the word fanny.
Yes, yeah. Probably not. Yeah.
Yeah, you learn it. Yeah,
that's what. Yeah,
different.
So anyway, I've just said it. Sorry, ITV.
It's okay.
Yeah. So no, it's been brilliant coming down. This is my third time coming to South Africa. Becoming a regular, coming every 2 months or so, and this time a really special occasion to mark the Queen's 90th.
I can't believe it.
Yeah.
She's 90 years old. I mean, she doesn't look it. I mean, she's aged very gracefully.
Yeah.
But she doesn't look 90 years old.
Yeah.
She's still walking around. She does everything for herself, pretty much. And if you see, she actually keeps up with the times. You can see she is. That's why she's the queen. She keeps everybody in check.
Yeah. So the event that you had yesterday, Catherine, that was obviously because it was her birthday yesterday.
Exactly. Yeah.
So how did that event go? I mean,
it was definitely a good opportunity to tell people about the because it's such a big cultural event in Britain, we thought we would go and choose all the best documentaries about the royal family and bring them to our channel, and so that people could see all aspects of the royal family. So this isn't the type of documentary that's sort of just black and white or with B-list actors trying to play Charles and Diana. This for a lot of these documentaries we got very close access and got actual interviews from family members. We had Ant and Dec, who's this popular comedy duo in Britain, follow Prince Charles around for a whole year.
Sure.
So they went around with him, going to various events like for his Prince's Trust charity, like went to prison with him, had a sleepover at his house.
That's cool.
Where they,
sleepover. Oh,
yeah, they
so
had
cool.
a sleepover at his house. Just him doing his normal duties, going to, a department store, where he had to, give away some awards. So it's really amazing. And then another documentary where, it's called Our Queen at 90. And you have interviews with each of the royal family members. And you can see how comfortable or not comfortable they are in front of the camera. So you have, Princess Kate sort of looking really stiff.
Really?
And sort
That's
of
interesting.
Saying very complimentary things about the Queen.
Okay.
And then you'll have one of the princes saying, "Oh yeah, she's done everything. She's got the t-shirt." I mean, who says that? So
just
anyway,
about the Queen, yeah.
Yeah. So her grandchildren are a lot more kind of casual
relaxed,
about it.
Yeah.
So we thought hopefully everyone had fun. We definitely pumped everyone with a lot of sugar, lots of cake, lots
you brought
of tea.
Us a cake as
yes,
well.
Yes, we did bring you a cake and some fun mass. And we got everyone to sing happy birthday.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Did you record it so that you can hopefully take it to school?
I don't think it was album quality.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe YouTube quality, but not.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we should sing. But we can send that to Catherine and the ITV Choice team as the podcast.
Because we'll
get stage fright if you're sitting here with us. You see, that's the problem. So
you don't want to sing now.
We'll sing it with our masks on as
okay,
well.
Okay, should you do that? Do you want to sing happy birthday? Are you going to join in with us?
Sure.
Who are you going to be?
We're
going to put masks on just so
okay.
that you're aware. So we've got Prince Philip, who Gareth was earlier. I've got a great picture of that. We've got Catherine. You're going to be Catherine Nikita because you can be the queen. I don't think you're quite Camilla. Let's be PC about that, but
I'm not sure I look like any of them, to be honest, but
why don't you be William?
Okay, great.
We're going to put our masks on, and now we're going to lead a happy birthday, belated birthday from us at Cliff Central, because obviously we weren't able to be at the event yesterday. Just going to put my headphones down. And then let's go like that and see how the quality is going to come out. So everybody has their masks on. I'm going to periscope, or I'm going to take a video of this. And should we count down to three and sing happy birthday? Who's happy
we
with
that? We can do that.
Okay.
Ready? I think we look smashing.
We do, darling. Darling. Hello. There's William
I'm waving
and Kate.
I'm waving to the Queen.
Waving to the Queen. Royal wave. There you go. Oh, his thumbs up from William.
Yep.
That's lovely. Lovely. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to the Queen. And 3, 2, 1.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Elizabeth.
Her
Majesty.
Happy birthday to you.
Whoop, whoop.
Woo! I don't think we did too bad.
I think that was pretty good.
Yeah.
I think the Majesty would appreciate it. It was the effort that counted.
Yeah, we'll send it to her.
Will you give it to her when you go and see her next weekend? Because I know you and her are quite tight, eh?
I think I have to live in Britain for a couple more years before she'll let me in, yeah.
Before you invite it for tea.
Yeah, at least another 10 years, I think.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's all right. Okay, so Catherine, obviously the special kicks off with Ant and Dec next week, Friday, I believe.
Yeah, on Friday. Friday at 8 o'clock.
And is it funny? Because they are hilarious. I mean, from a respect level, you have to obviously tone it down a bit because it's the royal family, but do they?
Well, they are respectful, but still funny,
okay.
Right? So they, you know, there's a priceless scene when they arrive and they have a little chat amongst themselves about what it should be like. And they're like, I can't do their voices. I'm just hoping everyone, you know, can understand their accent. But they, you know, they make a game plan about, ooh, let's keep it light. You know, they walk in. They're looking, they're gawking at everything. They're like, ooh, this is where he lives. Oh, not too shabby, you know, that kind of thing. You know, you see them kind of like peeking into like, you know, little boxes or whatever, and then quickly turning around when someone comes. You know, they're kind of like, they're like you, what you would do if you went into a house kind of unaccompanied and maybe if you're maybe 15.
Okay. Right. Because I was, you know, that's the view, like you've seen a lot of programs, I suppose, when people go into the White House and they, you know, they have their tour of the White House and they do all of those things. That's what I would imagine myself doing, but probably more because I'm a Virgo, so I'm really like kind of OCD and really aware of my surroundings. So I'd like look in the corner and see if there were cameras looking at me, and then I'd get freaked out. So I probably wouldn't do it, but
I'd still look everywhere. I don't know if I touch anything. I'm always worried that somebody's going to come and shout at me. You know, like you almost feel like a little naughty school child and somebody's going to rip and remind you. So I'd also be like gawking. I think that would be our game plan. If we walked in, you'd be like, oh, did you look over there?
Yeah.
Did you see that? Did you see that? And then I think I'd look for the dogs. That would be one of my things.
Yeah. Okay. But they just make everything really fun. Like I had to watch it because it was going on my channel and I didn't want anything, you know, that wasn't quite right for the channel. But sure. I kind of think I had this like silly, goofy smile the whole time when I was watching. And, you know, it can be a very dry subject,
yeah.
Right? Oh, they're going to see all the charity events that the prince attend, you know, and they're going to attend. But they were just kind of like, you know, yeah. Kind of
fun,
little naughty schoolboys, yeah. You know, just amazed by everything. They're like, ooh, we're going a police escort. Ooh, you know, isn't that exciting? You know, they never have to worry about traffic, you know, making little sort of funny comments the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've obviously got a lot of friends and family based in the UK now as well. So what did they say that the celebrations were like yesterday? I mean, because like you said, it's a big thing in the calendar, you know.
Yeah.
The royal family is still very, very popular. And an occasion like this doesn't happen all the time. Number one, she's 90. So, you know.
Some would say only once, really.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Well, maybe she'll just forget and then she'll just celebrate her 90th every year.
You know, she has several birthdays.
Yeah.
You know, so yesterday was her actual birthday. And her official birthday is not until June.
Yeah.
And then there's another birthday celebration, which is happening in mid-May. Which we're bringing, you know, again, we're bringing that to you on the channel. So it's not clear, you know, so if she counted every birthday, she'd be extremely old. You know, she'd be 270, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, I think, I've been here, so I haven't been that much in touch with what was happening, yesterday, but I know that, you know, for instance, the official celebration, which is happening in May, you know, that's Ant and Dec hosting this big party for her.
Oh, no way.
Which is going to be, you know, it's going to have like famous actresses like Dame Helen Mirren, who, you know, ironically portrayed the queen. So she'll be there, you know, Damian Lewis will be there, you know. You'll have a couple famous singers there, some contemporary ones like Jess Glynn, you know. So,
Oh, so wow.
It's a bit, you know, it's, and you sort of think, how did they put together this list of people in the princes must have gotten involved, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure the queen.
Yeah, I'm not sure the queen listens to Jess Glynn, but maybe she does.
Well, it's pretty catchy. Hey, yeah.
Or they just send an invite out and be like, "Your Majesty, well, Her Majesty requests your attendance," and you just say yes.
Yeah, there's no hesitation here.
But then there's, you know, Andrea Bocelli. So that's, maybe that's more in the
Queen's,
maybe that's
listening.
That one's for the Queen. Yeah. Yeah. But they really wanted to make it kind of all inclusive, and so it'll be a big party.
So where's it happening? On the lawns of, you know, one of the reigning parks?
I think it's in Windsor Castle, actually, and I think it has apparently. I'm going to get the numbers wrong, but I think it has at least sort of like hundreds of horses and hundreds of riders and entertainers, and they're all, you know, so it needs to be big enough.
Camilla will definitely be there.
She's at everything now. Yeah, so it would be a big, you know, kind of birthday extravaganza.
Well, so. I mean, I'm available if... You know, if you need someone to cover it, Nikita might be a bit preoccupied. I think you might be a little preoccupied, but I'm definitely available.
But this one is in May, so yeah, you might
I can just squeeze everyone in.
It's
the last one.
Yeah. So we're available if you need anyone to assist. Just let us know, and we'll definitely make a plan for you.
I have EU passport, so I can go there even quicker than you.
You had to go there.
I had to.
You're cutting me at the knees. Hey.
You're like, Nikita, I'm going to get you.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be a great celebration. And I really would love to be in the UK and in London, especially for this next 8 weeks or so, because it's going to be lots of fun. But I suppose we can live vicariously.
You can live vicariously by watching ITV Choice for the next 4 weeks.
There you go. Channel 123.
Channel 123 on DSTV. Every Friday and Saturday night at 8.
Okay.
So we just wanted to make sure everyone, you know, had something to do on Friday and Saturday night.
Because it's getting cold, so you don't really want to go out.
Yeah,
you know,
get some wine or beer, you know, stay in.
Yeah,
you know,
there you go. Well, in this...
Learn about the royal family.
We'll make some tea.
Gin and tonic. Okay. Well, some tea for you. Some gin and tonics for us.
And some cucumber sandwiches.
Cucumber sandwiches. Some scones.
Some scones.
Fish and chips.
Maybe bangers and mash.
Bangers and mash, yeah. Fish and chips. Yes,
there we go.
Yes. Not fish and chops.
Fish.
Fish and chips.
Fish.
Yeah, fish. Not what? You. No, I'm just saying.
Oh.
Durban people. So Durban, we're obviously here in Joburg, but Durban people have a habit of saying fish and chips. So they live in Hillcrest instead of Hillcrest, and they eat fish and chips.
No, sorry.
That's just, you know, the accent.
You just have to pronounce it properly. It is fish.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the US and the UK have an abundance of accents as well. So.
So I wanted to also ask you, just before we wrap it up, ITV Choice is almost a year old in South Africa.
That's right. Oh, we're starting so many birthdays. Yeah.
I remember coming to your launch in Four Ways last year, and it was lots of fun. And you know, you had your red telephone booth, and everything was kind of UK based, so it was lots of fun. I've actually still got that picture of the person who was drawing the caricatures.
Oh yes, that's really fun.
Oh, it's nice. So, good.
So what, have you got any celebrations as well on the go?
Well, I think every day is a celebration.
I had to say that.
No, but I mean, I think we're in sort of a late, well, either June or July, we'll be planning on coming back, and we'll be able to sort of announce a bit more about what's happening with the channel. So we'll have a more proper celebration then.
So you'll come back and visit us then?
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And we'll have more cake.
More cake, yeah.
There you go.
Why not, eh?
Why not? We need a celebration.
There you go. I love it. Catherine, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And I hope you have a good, safe trip back to the United Kingdom. Enjoy it. Travel lightly.
And send the Queen our regards.
Send her our regards, yeah.
For sure.
We've got so many pictures. We'll send you the podcast so you can play it to her. Wish her, yeah, give her a big squeeze.
She's already been texting me about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So she's
keen. She's keen.
So we'll send her a few selfies just to convince her she needs
one. Okay, perfect. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. And we'll catch you very, very soon.
All right. Thanks.
Cool. Awesome.
Leonardo and Rita were finally taking their honeymoon, and they'd chosen the most luxurious honeymoon suite that money could buy.
On tonight's episode of Did You Know? Carbon Monoxide, the silent killer.
The historic suite had every romantic necessity, including a generous 18th century indoor fireplace.
A lot of things can cause a CO spill, but the number one culprit is the indoor fireplace.
The enthusiastic lovebirds wasted no time, and within mere moments, the open flames were casting two bobbing shadows on the suite's ornate walls.
The initial symptoms of poisoning include breathlessness and disorientation.
Oh my, I feel breathless, gasped Rita. What planet are we on? Whispered Leonardo.
Inhaling the gas for a period of 20 minutes will start to weaken the muscles and can even lead to vivid hallucinations.
They lay limp in each other's arms before the fiery glow, while over in the corner, a Bengal tiger played the sitar. At Road Lodge, there's no chance of getting carbon monoxide poisoning from the fireplace because there is no fireplace. Road Lodge, the no-frills one-star hotel.
I patiently waited for you for 9 months. I would sit in my chair and talk about how I longed to meet you. I knew you'd be the most beautiful baby in the world. I was ready for you, but I wasn't ready for this. If you have a child in need of reconstructive surgery, Smile Foundation can help you. Visit www.smilefoundation.co.za or call us on 0861-276-453.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
That was fun, friend.
But I'd love to join Catherine there in the UK. Can you imagine us? We'd be like
besties because you're both
besties and waving like idiots there in the UK. Go past Buckingham Palace. She can see me. Look at me. Look at me. Oh, we'd have an awesome time.
Just do that again.
Can you see me?
Look just like that. Excited.
Yeah, like almost like Mr. Bean. That Mr. Bean movie when he goes to the US and he's waving like an idiot, but of course he's flipping the bird on the highway. So, but we'll just wave.
Okay.
We'll wave all over. So.
Oh, I really want to go to London.
Yeah, you see.
I want to go to London.
Now I
want
to go on a holiday.
I have family in London. Well, a cousin. And she has been miserable for the last 4 or so months because it's been so cold and miserable.
This is a nice one.
But now they have all these interesting things happening, you know. So she's going to a run and she's going to this festival and she's going to this wine tasting
and
this
amazing there's tonic. Always amazing museum displays. And I also had a relative, he was there a few months ago, and they had the Coco Chanel museum that was going around. Sure. And then he was just Snapchatting me the whole thing, like walking through, and I was just like living vicariously through him. And I was like, you little shit, really? Like, can you imagine? Like, us, we're like, what are you doing this weekend? Oh, so-and-so's display is coming through. Do you want to go check it out? Or there's movie premieres. You'd actually often go to the red carpet
and then send
me the pictures. Like, I got some of Channing Tatum. I got Idris Elba. There were quite a few he sent to me. And he's like, you won't believe how bad so-and-so's skin is. Or he'll be like, this actress, she is gorgeous in the flesh. And I'll be like, okay, you know what? Leave me alone now.
Hate them.
But it's fine. You know what? We'll plan it. We'll do that. We'll do that as a trip.
Okay. I like the idea of that, friend. Okay. So we're moving on. Now we have to.
Okay.
Because I'm done with the jealousy. So
yes,
we need to talk acting.
All right.
And actresses. And very talented actresses.
Isoza.
Yes.
So she's on that.
She's on the line. Isoza, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hello.
How are you guys?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well.
Good. How's Friday treating you so far?
It's treating me pretty good. I'm slightly exhausted, but you know, that comes with the territory.
Exhausted because you are very, very busy at the moment. Hey, are you in rehearsals or has the show kicked off yet?
Yes, I am. I'm still in rehearsals. So okay. I'll be rehearsing today, tomorrow, Sunday, and then we go up on Monday.
Oh, wow. Oh,
really?
Monday.
Yeah.
How are the nerves feeling?
The nerves are actually feeling good. It's like the more you rehearse, the more you feel comfortable with it, but then obviously the nerves they always come back right before.
Of course. Well, I mean, it wouldn't be normal if you weren't nervous, hey? I suppose as soon as you lose those nerves, you probably shouldn't be doing it anymore, in my opinion.
I think there's something good about being a little bit, I mean, being prepared is important, but then there's something really awesome that happens when you get that endorphin rush as well. I mean, you kind of need it, I think, in order to like be motivated to work harder.
It always gives you that best rush. That adrenaline rush always delivers like the best work as well in that moment.
Yeah, totally.
So then your show, Soza, is The Woman Who Would Be King. So just tell us what it is about.
So it's a one-woman play, and it's about one of the first female pharaohs of Egypt. Her name was Hatshepsut, and she was the fifth pharaoh of the 18th dynasty. And she was really unique because basically she was supposed to be co-ruling with this young boy who was the next heir to the throne. And she just decided to declare herself pharaoh after being co-ruling with him for about 7 years.
That sounds like my type of woman, eh? You're like, no, come on, let me just show you how it's done. Nobody's co-doing anything with me, especially just a youngster. So this is actually quite a different play, something that people wouldn't expect. And you say it's a one-woman play.
Yeah, so I'm playing a total of 10 characters, and she's one of the characters as well. And she, the way that I've written the play, she kind of narrates the audience through the story, but I focused on not her accomplishments once she takes the throne, but I focused on her journey to the actual throne and I imagined some of her relationships and some of the politics stuff that would happen as she was maneuvering to take that position.
And it's definitely an untold story that we're not really familiar with, especially with the, with the dynasty there in Egypt, because we are always, you know, we're used to hearing about Tutankhamun, Nefertiti, and all of that. So this is quite a move from it.
Yeah, the thing that was really unique about her, which is what drew me to the story in the first place, is, I mean, she's very unheard of, even though she was wildly successful. I mean, her temples are still in existence, and she built all these huge monuments. And what happened after she reigned was that they don't know exactly who did it, but other pharaohs after her, some tried to they literally carved her name out of all of the hieroglyphs that she was depicted in. They carved her image out of them, and some even went as far as putting I can't remember which pharaoh it was, but there was a pharaoh who actually put his name on one of her monuments. So people were trying to basically erase her from history. And luckily, Egyptologists did the research and figured out who she was, because they realized that there was all of this reference to a pharaoh, and then there were some female references in terms of how she was spoken about. So it's really interesting and cool that we can know about her, but more people should know about her just because her story is pretty amazing, and it's also inspiring as a woman still dealing with the politics of, you know.
Yeah, all the politics of being a woman, hey?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. We should have told her that there's a woman now, however many thousands of years later, and it's called she's called Taylor Swift, and like she said, haters are going to hate.
So this 65-minute show of yours is happening out at the Alexander Bar and Cafe. And you seem to be quite attached to this venue. What is it about it that drew you to this choice, you know, to put down in the show?
Well, I mean, I went and saw like 3 or 4 plays at Alexander Bar last year, and I just thought it's just a really great place for new work, and it's a really great place to kind of like, you know, mess about, try something new. And then it's an intimate space, which I really like, because for one person shows, at least at the beginning, it's nice to not feel overwhelmed by the audience. And so I just really love the space, and I like the shows that I saw there, and I like the theater. So
So it kicks off on Monday. Where do people get the tickets from? At the door, or do they buy them online, or how does that work?
Yeah, so you can buy them online at shows.alexanderbar.co.za, or you can get them at the door for 100 rand. I believe they're 90 rand online, and some of the shows are filling up, so it's good to get them online beforehand if possible. But yeah, it's the 25th all the way to the 30th, every night at 7 p.m. sharp.
Awesome. Now, what I like about this era, so to speak, is the costumes. And, you know, I've seen some of the publicity images that you've put together, you know, to kind of promote the show. And they're, for lack of a better word, they're exquisite. Like, it's just very striking. It's very visually appealing. Do you love dressing up and, you know, getting into this role as well? Oh, have we lost you?
Did we lose her?
Soza.
Oh.
She's gone. The internet is not... We just broke the internet.
I think so.
We just broke the internet. I was asking her such a dramatic question.
Because I about wanted her to hear outfit. The answers.
Of course
about
you did.
It,
so that's why on. I asked it. I don't know why you didn't get in there first.
Well, you got there. You read my mind. Especially well, with the Egyptian era. But like we just said, we just lost Isoza. She was just talking about her one-woman show, the woman who would be king. And she was just talking about the pharaoh that hey. People aren't aware of. Oh, you're back.
Hello?
Hello, Isoza. You're back.
I'm back.
We were worried. I don't know what happened. Cape Town obviously just decided to switch off.
I was
off.
Worried, too. My computer just died in the middle of our conversation.
Okay, well, it's okay.
Okay, so I was asking about the outfits because obviously the publicity images are really, really striking. So do you love getting dressed up and, you know, ready for this gig as well? Because it's when you look at them, it's very striking, very visually appealing, very awesome. And she's gone again.
Are we breaking the internet over this question?
Over the outfit.
It sounds like
you see, the thing is, Cape Town's obviously just switched off the internet for the afternoon. It is 1:30, so I mean, most of the people are kind of going home.
Yeah, you know,
home.
They're already in the holiday weekend mood.
Yeah, and it's almost a long weekend-ish. A lot of people are... We're going to try one more time. So, are you there with us again?
I am.
There you go. Did you hear my question?
No, what was it?
I wanted to know about your outfits for the concert or for the show.
Oh.
So, I mean, they're very striking. Do you love dressing up like this?
I mean, it's pretty fun. It's definitely fun. I actually just designed something for the show, and I'm really excited about it because the seamstress tailor that I worked with, she really got my vision. So I'm excited about that. I got the collar that I have in the image for the poster and stuff is from a really awesome woman named, she has a brand called Mushana, and she actually makes those collars, and she designed that collar specifically for me to play a pharaoh. And so I'm doing an interpretation, I guess, in the sense of what ancient Egypt could have looked like, but it's kind of fun to imagine that and kind of create my own little fashion from it.
And then you kind of modernize it, and then you can just rock it in Cape Town and in LA, I suppose, eh?
Exactly. Totally. Totally. Okay.
So do you have plans to bring it up to Johannesburg or other parts of South Africa?
I would really love to. Right now I'm in the space of, let's see how this goes. A lot of people are already asking me to bring it to the States. They're like, please come to New York, please come to LA. So I just kind of want to see how this goes and see what I would like to tweak. And then I would even love to do another production in Cape Town as well. But I just want to see how this all pans out. But Johannesburg would be wonderful as well. People have asked about that as well. So I'm open to everything. It's just a matter of, let's see how this all goes first.
We're the city of gold. So, you know, pharaohs like to wear gold.
Exactly. It would be
so
fitting.
It's very befitting. So we'll see you here. Okay, Isoza, well, thank you so much for joining us today on Cliff Central on The Buzz. Good luck for Monday. We hope you have an awesome, awesome first run, and we look forward to seeing you hopefully here. And if we need to come to LA or New York, then we'll do that too, you know?
Awesome, sounds good. Thank
you. Not complaining. You have yourself a good weekend. We'll catch you soon.
All right, you okay. too.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, cheers. Bye. Cheers.
I think that's going to be a great show.
I also think
you're
so.
Going to Cape Town?
If not, why not?
Yeah, yeah.
Especially to watch a one-woman show and with so many characters. Kudos to her.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very cool. Okay, so we're going to move on very, very swiftly. You've just got to get to some music. And then we're going to bring Llewelyn Gheef into studio. He's going to talk about a brand new movie that is doing absolute wonders at the box office. So we'll talk about that shortly. This is The Buzz on cliffcentral.com. So when I listen to Meghan Trainor, I kind of think about how sweet she is. She's just like a happy person. She creates this music that is fluffy but fun, and everybody's, you know, oh, wow, everybody's singing outside. I don't know what's going on. Are they singing happy birthday again?
I don't think so. Okay. Unless it's the spur it happy
looks like
birthday.
Rumor has it on this day you are having your birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy, happy, happy birthday. Anyway, well, I digress. So Meghan Trainor obviously won the Best Newcomer Award at the Grammys this year. And an SMS of someone had got her number somehow. And all these haters got in touch with her and they were saying, you fat, you Ooh. Should never have won. I mean, how nasty, eh? Like, she's just this happy person.
People always just trolling her.
Yeah, it's scary. Anyway.
Well, I don't know if you saw, I think it was on the Jimmy Kimmel show or something. And then mean tweets, celebrities reading tweets. And then the one was about her, and they said it almost looked like she worked in a takeaway, like in a, through a, what's it? She worked at a drive-thru. That's what she looked like.
No, man. Come on.
And I was just like, you know what? People, they're going to hate her.
Yeah, hate is going to hate. Okay, but we're not hating now because we've got a movie out in cinemas that is doing really, really well. Not only locally, but there's a lot of international attention as well. It's called Mutter.
Mutter im Blut. There we go.
And he's back in studio with us, Llewellyn. Welcome back, man.
Thank you, Jason. Good to be back, man.
So the last time was Leading Lady.
That's correct.
That was, we were trying to work it out. November, December 2014. That's correct. I think it was around there.
Yeah.
Now you're back with a new movie, completely different to that one.
Just a tad.
Yeah, so tell us, what's this one about?
Okay, this one's fantastic. And like I said to you guys earlier when we were offline, I really think it's something you want to experience in the big screen. It's been so well received from the audiences out there. I mean, usually when people get back to you and say, good movie or really enjoyed it, you know, sort of one or three words, we're getting paragraphs. People are writing personal letters. People are sending voice notes. People are emailing on all forms of our social media, on YouTube. You know, usually you get a hit when you boost something or you watch the organic growth. But people are, through every single social media conduit, are just getting back to us and commending us on the film. So it's a dream for us to get that kind of, you know, feedback from the audience and even the crits. You know, I mean, the crits are usually harsh. Yeah. And everything from Mail and Guardian to Network 24 to Channel 24, you know, saying that this is something to look out for.
Because I was reading that Channel 24 review and they were saying, you know, when I saw the trailer, I just really didn't want to go and watch it. And these sort of movies bore me and I just really didn't want to watch it. I can't remember the person's name, but when he or she walked into the cinema and they actually started watching the film, they loved it. And they were like, I was pleasantly surprised and it blew me away. And I watched it from beginning to end and I didn't nod off, didn't get bored and all of that. So when you read that, you obviously get those happy.
As you know, Sean Althrock and directed this film and he has done a fantastic job. You know, his knowledge and his passion for that period of history in South Africa's history is just phenomenal. And his passion and his enthusiasm and his actual style that he brought to the set was phenomenal. And the set itself was great. You know, we had this Joburg and Cape Town crew that we married together to shoot out in Worcester. And then we had five cast members from the UK that we brought down. And then we had a massive cast in South Africa, probably one of the biggest ensemble casts that you've seen on the local screen. You know, our casting number ended at 49. So you can imagine the scheduling and most of the local South African actors in this film have their own films that they're doing and usually leads and can carry their own weight. So now you've got this ensemble. So you can imagine scheduling, getting all those people in one place for 6 weeks.
Well, scheduling is one thing. Then it's dealing with the egos on top of that as well. Of 49 very well-known actors. I mean, you can take us through some of the lists.
Well, obviously, you know, the lead is still a performance by Stian Bum. We've got Jacques Bechinger, Manu van der Merwe, Altus Chart. We've got Dion Lutz. We've got Hannah Barnard, Jaco Miller, David Lowe. I mean, I can Gustav Gerdner. We then had the international cast, which was, you know, Charlotte Salt, Nick Cornwall, Josh Myers, Jonathan Holby, Patrick Connolly, who portrays the Irish character in the film, which was fantastic. You know, when you go to the cinema, at the moment there are master films. You know, you've got 170 studio films coming out this year, which is, think about how many weeks there are in a year. So that's the studio films. Then you've got your independent circuit. Then you've got the local circuit of each country as well. So when you're coming out and competing against these massive tentpole films, you know, you're going to have to do something special. You're going to have a story. And that's what's amazing about Mutter im Blut. It's got the story that grips you from the end, from his journey, all the way through to the end. You stay captivated, and it's those kind of films you want to go to the big screen for. It's those kind of films you want to experience out in the cinema in a dark room with 300 strangers.
Yeah, because I mean, also you can think back to that time, but a lot of us weren't alive, let's be honest.
No, of course.
Like 1901, of course. I mean, how many of us were actually alive? I think the Queen wasn't even alive then.
She just missed it.
Yeah, so she, I mean, even she, you know, wouldn't have been part of this era. But now you have to kind of look back at the history books. And that's why I suppose you said Sean is so well suited for it.
Absolutely.
Because you go back and you see what it looked like. Yeah. And now you have to bring that to life.
Yes, I tell you, Jason, the attention to detail in this film was phenomenal. You know, Sean Els and Rudy Hargrain from Collective Dream Films, they approached myself and Hank Pretorius from Dark Matter Studios. And they came and saw us actually just after Leading Lady. And then we spoke about this film and Sean had this great idea. And then the two production companies decided, well, let's do this. Let's make this film. And the one thing we looked for is, has it got legs? Can it travel? Because it's one thing to make a film for the local market.
Like the Voortrekkers.
Exactly. A lot of metaphors in the traveling concept. So we thought, how are we going to do this and how can it travel? Now, you know, drama is usually quite tough in South Africa because, you know, it's a heavy subject and we like watching things that are uplifting. However, the response has been great with this film, but still it's something that travels. You know, drama is big in Europe, it's big in the rest of the world, and we immediately saw something special here. We saw a story inspired by true events that's really going to not only educate people but entertain people. You know, it's the same way we watched Braveheart, for example. None of us are Scottish that I know of.
No.
So it's not like it was a Scottish relationship.
I think he might have some heritage, you know.
He might, yes, exactly. But nevertheless, we followed the man's journey. And that's the thing about Modern Blood. You follow Willem Morkel's journey from his loss to his real sort of down and out moments and to his triumph and how he gets his team of prisoners together. And there are these constant feel good moments where, you know, we had reactions in cinemas, people clapping, standing up, cheering, women sitting behind crying for a few minutes after his leave. It was, you know, it's such a visceral response from the audience, and we couldn't be happier with the response and feedback.
Okay, so the plans to take it overseas, what's happening? Are you going to the festivals?
Absolutely. The good news is, so the NVF, the National Film and Video Foundation, every year they take a catalogue and then they select specific South African films that they represent as the South African catalogue in Cannes, and we were selected for the catalogue in Cannes. So.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Going to the south of France.
Exactly.
Bonjour.
I'm going to have to bite the bullet and tolerate this one.
Shame. Sorry about that. So that's incredible. I mean, Cannes is just, you know, it's a melting pot of, outside of Hollywood, it's probably
absolutely
where all these big shots kind of descend.
Have you been?
No, in my head I have. You know, I'm a regular there.
We've been all over.
I think Gary should take the team out there.
Yeah, well, Jen will probably
it's a
end up
experience.
Going.
Yeah, probably.
But, you know, Jen needs to share the love. So I might just hop in her bag this year. Again, buddy, I'm sorry, you're going to be busy. So Nikita can't go.
It's Ken, hello.
Exactly. So yeah, that's the one plan in Cannes. And then obviously my business partner Hank is in LA at the moment, and now he's approaching all the other distributors and sales agents and territories we want to sell to. We're looking at America last because, you know, anything with subtitles, it's a bit, it's a harder sell.
Like
read,
yeah.
No, they don't.
Well, really. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What language is that?
So you'll laugh, but I actually saw this thing. I digress again slightly, but there was this page. Let me see if I can find it. Basically, it had the pictures, emojis of Kendall. No, what's the other one? The
Kylie
Jenner.
Pump 2-3 bar.
And then Rob Kardashian. Then he is marrying someone by the name of Black China. Then Kim Kardashian's in the pictures as well. So it's all these emojis. And then they've basically put the story together of how Kendall hated Black China. Black China was dating Kylie's boyfriend.
Baby daddy.
Let me give you the context. Black China and Tiger have a baby together.
Yes.
Tiger is now dating Kylie.
Right.
And
Black China
is
engaged
to Rob.
They are brother and sister. So then there was beef online.
So incestual already.
But I have to actually show this because when I read this, I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, like this is how, oh my God, the Kardashians are like reading and stuff. And this is how they read online with emojis, because that's basically how you read your stories these days, I suppose.
I know.
So
emojis
and
abbreviations.
No subtitles now. So what, are you going to have to start using emojis?
No, so maybe in our next film, we have emojis at the bottom.
Yeah.
So it's just reactions. People go,
but
oh.
The problem is like emojis can be interpreted a little bit different from person to person and be like, won't be like, but why is this person smiling and there's tears coming out her eyes? I'm like, is she crying or laughing, or is she happy crying?
And that's the thing, because in Asia, for example, you know, there's certain territories where they don't. So if we like have the slapstick comedy, you know, where you catch someone, like, you know, you put a booby trap in the office, they don't laugh at that because it's disrespectful to laugh when someone gets a fright or gets hurt.
Oh.
So you know what I mean? So now how would you handle
I'd
that
I'd appreciate
emoji?
That if it, you know, I don't like to get a fright, so I'd appreciate it that part, but when it happens to somebody else, I can't help myself, so it wouldn't
exactly
work.
Okay, so so Europe is probably the focus for now then. I'll find that picture and I'll send it to you.
No, it is. I mean, the thing with Modern Blut is, obviously that's the title that we released it on in South Africa for the market share. But our international title, when you look on IMDb, is Blood and Glory. So it's being released as Blood and Glory internationally, and we have a massive plan. So over the next 6 to probably 12 months, we're going to tour the world with it and make sure that all the territories that deserve it get it. Because do you know a bit about the story, Jason? Do you guys know what the story is about? I mean, you saw the trailer.
I saw the trailer.
And what does the trailer tell you? What did you get from the trailer?
That you can see it's set in like the 1900s.
Yes.
And that they are prisoners and they have to, I think it was almost like an exchange for freedom.
Almost.
Well, I'm just thinking they're playing a game, and I was just like...
Exactly. So it's basically Willem Alcor loses his family in the Anglo-Boer War, and then he takes up arms against the British Army, and then obviously he gets sent to St. Helena. So those are all inspiratory events. So St. Helena Island is where the prisoners get sent to, and then they have to play a wager for a game for a kid's life. And the game that they play is rugby, because the colonel's soldiers and the colonel himself loves rugby. And then a lot of the Boer prisoners, this is where they actually learned how to play rugby, were in the concentration camps. So then Willem has to pick himself up, pick his fellow inmates up and say, look, we're going to have to do this to save the boy's life. And then they end up playing the sort of the game of their life in the prison camp.
Sure.
It sounds so dramatic, actually.
It's very awesome. Very it's really
good.
No,
it really is. Because when I first saw the trailer, I saw obviously the name of the movie and I was like, okay, my Afrikaans is terrible. And I was like, thank God there were some subtitles. And I was like, okay. And I'm watching it and I'm like thinking, oh my word, this is actually a locally produced movie. And I was just looking at the aesthetics of the movie and just like you said, the creation of it and like that it's a time period. And I thought, you know what, you could never put your finger on it and say this was made, you know, just a small budget and all that sense, you know.
No, exactly. And that's why I'm so proud of it.
It's a hugely recognizable movie. And I thought, you know what, this movie is going to be amazing. And like you said, it's a drama. Like I picked that up, that a lot of the local movies are, you know, like you said, it's the comedies. We used to Leon Schuster's, not something as serious. And this one was very serious. And I looked at it and I was like, shit, I actually have to make some time with this.
So it's on cinemas now.
That's right.
You can go and check it out. And the more support you have, the more you...
The longer you stay in the cinemas. So you can go to modernblutmovie.com or you go to our Facebook page. And there we've got a sort of detail of all the cinemas that it's still in currently. So check it out.
I've got two movies to watch this weekend. Cool. Then.
You do?
I do.
And I expect you to tell me when you're going to talk about it on the radio.
I'll tweet about it.
Okay,
I'll
tweet
you
about
and
it.
I'll let you know that we are going to talk about it. And then if it's not good, then I won't tweet you.
Okay, if I don't hear from you, then you didn't like it.
There you go. But make sure that it's not another 2 years before you come back.
No. Right, we've got two massive international projects we're busy with now. That's why I've actually stayed here. Okay. We're busy packaging with a few A-listers on two incredible stories.
Just name drop one. Just one.
It's a very famous, well, name drop of who we're approaching.
Yeah, just one.
Okay, so approaching and not getting, you know, so we're still waiting, but we're approaching the likes of Shawai Tuyefo and Idris Elba and sort of that kind of category. Very British.
Ooh. Oh, shame. Yeah. Good one. So, nice. Very exciting because, you know, everybody loves Idris, eh?
Yeah. No, exactly. He's just a very busy man. But Shawai, I would love the opportunity to work with him.
Amazing talent.
12 Years a Slave.
I actually don't know how he didn't win an Oscar for that.
I know.
Lupita was great, let's be honest.
Lupita, absolutely.
Chiwetel was.
He just took it to another level.
No, he is.
Okay, cool. Well, hold thumbs for you. Awesome. And we have to wrap it up, but thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
today.
For having me, guys. Have a great weekend.
Go check it out. Modern Blut in cinemas now.
In cinemas nationwide.
Let's go and check out what Jen's been up to, and then we'll come up and wrap up for today.
The Buzz on CliffCentral.com. Awesome.
Hey there, Jason and Nikita. We talked Josie Wood to Hollywood at SA supermodel turned actress Nicola Breitenbach and former Mr. South Africa and actor Andrew Govender are starring in a movie called Free State. They had a media premiere on Monday in Joburg. Now they're going through Cape Town and Durban ahead of the film's official release in the South African cinemas next Friday. And talking about Nicola Breitenbach, she and actress Pearl Tuzi have landed major roles in the international film The Blue Mauritius, which begins filming in SA in August. The film will be produced by Dexter Davis and American actor-rapper Nick Cannon, the former husband of Mariah Carey. Speaking of international superstar Mariah, she's almost here in SA. I can't believe it. She's performing in Cape Town this Tuesday, Durban on Friday, and Joburg next Sunday, the 1st of May, and Monday, the 2nd. Over to Hollywood, where the entertainment world is still trying to grapple with the death of Prince. 57 is just much too young, and the circumstances around his death are still being investigated. He was writing a book of his memoirs due out next year. He just released some new material recently, and it wasn't until Prince's plane had to make an emergency landing literally 7 days ago today in Illinois that the rumors of his health issues had come to the surface. But I mean, really, it's still very, very strange what actually happened. Even last week, he was performing a show in Atlanta. And it makes me think back to an interview with Larry King in 1999, where Prince talked about the inspiration behind Purple Rain. You know, at that time, music being portrayed in a film and on a music video platform was very revolutionary at the time.
You know, you can kind of get a feel. There was no movie out like that at the time. That's what I tend to do in all the things that I do is, you know, the idea with art and inspiration is to try to let it grow and move forward. If there's stagnation, you can always come with something and cut through the maze.
Prince was an incredible force in the music industry. With over 100 million albums sold, 30 top 40 singles, we will miss him. I'm Jen Su for The Buzz. Now back to you, Jason and Nikita.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you very much. And thank you, everybody, for listening to The Buzz today. Nikita, have a good weekend, my
you
friend.
You too, Jason.
We're going to check out some movies, eh?
Yes, we
definitely
will.
And then we have to tweet Llewellyn.
Yes. Like deal. It's okay. A deal. Okay.
Deal. Awesome. We'll catch you back next week.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.